Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to get right into my message. Thank you, Pastor Wayne, for allowing me to be a part of this series. This is a very exciting thing to know that you guys are covering this issue, because it really is important what we allow into our lives. And there's many doors in your house, not just the front and back door, but there's other ways, avenues that, sad to say, the enemy has access to your home. And music is one of those that we're going to talk about this morning. I want you to fill in the blank for me on this. My sheep hear my voice. Exactly. That's what Pastor Wayne titled this sermon today. And it's a verse that Jesus is stating here in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, obviously, they're following him because he has a voice. And that's what I want to show you and talk to you about today. Now, obviously, the question is, are you able to listen to his voice above all the other noise? And this is where the problem lies, because I believe for some people, his voice is being drowned out by some other voices. And that's why I want to use this topic, being unplugged, so that you can hear his voice. Because when you really see where we're going with this, it is a quite amazing truth that comes out of his voice. I don't think I have preached on music, I guarantee, at least 1,000 times, and I have never seen it as the angle I'm going to give to you this morning. I'm so excited about it, because I think there is something about music that when you see what it really is all about, you're going to be amazed this morning. Because really what it is, it's about your heart. And I want you to notice how heart is spelled, H-E-A-R-T. And I want you to look at the first two letters, he, and then the middle three letters is what? Ear. And then the last three letters are what? Art. He is saying something that you can hear in your ear that is a form of God's art. And you'll see what I'm getting to in a moment, because you all obviously are listening. Every one of us are listening to a voice, and who you listen to is who you're going to follow. Are you all listening to me? Okay, now listen, because like it or not, Christians can't always hear his voice, and the reason why is because they've had it drowned out with other voices, drowned out with other things. But I want you to see again the word heart here. He can't be heard because their ear isn't in tune to his marvelous art because of the many voices. See, God, well, I'll say something. I'm getting ready to get ahead of myself here. But the fact of the matter is, you and I should be listening to music that helps us listen to his voice. Amen? Sad to say, some people's music has gone to the dogs. You see what I'm saying? Because think about it for a second. Maybe some of you have been listening to the voice of Macklemore or Ryan Lewis as they sing Can't Hold This or The Heights, or maybe Daft Punk as they sing Get Lucky or Random Access Memories, or maybe Justin Timberlake as in his songs Suit and Tie or Mirrors, or maybe listening to Pink as she sings Try or Just Give Me a Reason, or maybe Tim McGraw and Taylor Swift as they sing Highway Don't Care, or maybe Florida Georgia Line singing Cruise, or Imagine Dragons singing Radioactive, or Alice in Chains as they sing The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here, or Sierra as she sings Body Party. The fact is, and here's the bottom line, if you don't get anything from the message, listen to this one point. Your music is either drawing you closer to the Lord, or your music is drawing you further away from the Lord. If you didn't say amen, you missed the whole point of what this is all about today. Now, obviously, the verse that's been used is Psalm 1 throughout this series. And if you remember, it's broken down into three points. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, which obviously is their perspective on things, their worldview. Not to stand in the way of sinners. That's their practice of sin, nor to sit in the seat of the scorner. That's their leisure. That's their entertainment. And one of those forms, obviously, is music. Now, when you consider this, I love this verse. I remember in all my rock seminars that we did for almost 2 decades, one of the verses that I always started off with was this verse in Ecclesiastes. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of what? Fools. The air right now is filled with songs of fools. If we had a radio, I could give you an illustration of that. And I'm going to explain something about that in just a moment. Before I go any further, I want to ask a question. Who do you think invented music? Now, some people would say, well, the devil did that. But folks, that is the furthest thing from the truth you can get. God is the creator. Satan is the perverter. God, listen to this, God created music. And if you don't get that point, you'll miss the entire point of why there's music in the first place. God, in his purity, in his holiness, in his wisdom, in his perfection, was the one who actually designed music. And I was originally, before I found out that Pastor Wayne had already had a title for it, I was going to call this message God's Sound and Light Show. Because when you read Psalms, you read a very interesting statement. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful what? Sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the what? The light of his countenance. There is a song. There's a sound that should help you walk in the light. And I want you to look at this other passage. It says here again in Psalms. And obviously Psalms are songs. These are expressions of worship and singing. And David said, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. It talks about him saving and rejoicing over thee and resting. But notice the latter part of the verse. He will joy over thee with what? Who is doing the singing, folks? He, God. He will joy. We just heard a moment ago, it's a joyous sound. God is God, a song that is joyous, a sound that's joyous. It's him singing. Have you ever thought about that? Has that ever dawned on you? Now, I got news for you. God is singing. Now, I know this sounds weird, and to some of it may sound a little new agey, but the fact is, God is singing through his creation. And the fact is, the whole creation, according to the Bible, was designed to resonate, to vibrate his glory. And when it gets out of rhythm, when the song gets out of rhythm, that song becomes a groaning, a groan for redemption. You say, how can you say that? Well, it tells us very plainly in Romans 8, 22 and 23. You ought to read that statement because in that it talks about the entire creation that is in groaning right now for the day of redemption, verse 23 says. Now, I want you to fill in the blank on this one. And God said, what? What does it say in Genesis 1? The first statement says, and God said, let there be light. Exactly. And when that happened, it happened. When God spoke it, watch this, when God spoke it, light came into existence. Now, so the first thing, now stick with me on this. This is going to be very interesting. And don't let your mind wander. You got to hear this. The first thing God created was light. Y'all remember that, right? Now, the day that God created light, now listen to this, is the day that music began. You say, what do you mean? Because light, listen, is both a particle and it is a wave. Okay, now I'm not going to get real scientific to you, but you got to listen to this because a wave, just like a sound wave, is the voice of God. God spoke and light came into existence. Light equals energy, and energy, now stick with me, equals mass, and mass equals matter. So is everybody still with me? Matter is what makes up everything. It's what makes up the universe. You and I, every single thing that you see is a result of light. Now listen to this. When you consider that everything that is in existence is the result of God's voice speaking everything into existence. That's why it's so amazing when we use the word universe, it comes from two Latin words, una meaning singular, one, and verse meaning a spoken sentence. So universe literally means a single spoken sentence. So when God said, let there be light, are you listening to me? That single spoken sentence, the vibrations, the wave of that light produced. So when scientists say we live in a universe, you know what scientists are saying? We live inside a single spoken sentence. It's the voice. He's speaking, he's saying something, and he's actually, according to the Bible, he's singing something, because literally they're saying we live inside a single verse. Universe. A verse of a what? A song. Have you ever thought about this? Now, recently, NASA discovered by, and they had a pretty good idea. Obviously, there's a vacuum in space, so there's no sound there, but there were waves, and they discovered and they recorded actual sounds radiating from the planets, from the sun. And as a result of this, they found out that there is music being produced by planets. Matter of fact, you can actually purchase a CD that is put out by NASA of the Voyager recording this. An amazing thing, it's between 20 to 20,000 megahertz, which just so happens, folks, to be the range of the human ear. And this is what we're hearing. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard about this before, maybe you've even noticed it yourself, but whales and dolphins have been shown to communicate through songs. Not just the little chirping noise, but actually to sing. Actually, here again, you can go to the internet or wherever, if you go to a science museum or something, you normally find them in their little bookstores, and you can purchase CDs recording of their songs that they're singing. Creation is singing. Who do you think put that song in them? God put that song in them. Now, what's interesting, when you take the voices of humans, for example, and they found something very interesting by speeding up the voice and slowing down the voice. If you take a human voice and you speed it up three times, it sounds remarkably close to a little bird chirping. Now, every time in my office, I leave my door open a lot of times, and I hear birds chirping. I love, because I've always viewed it this way. They are singing praises to God. Those little birds are saying something. Now, I may not be able to understand their language, but they're sitting there, and they're not just songbirds, but every bird is there chirping. Now, if you speed up the human voice eight times, it sounds just like crickets. Matter of fact, something's really weird. If you go to the internet and type in cricket choir, listen to it. They've actually taken the cricket, slowed it down so slow that when you listen to it, it sounds like an entire choir singing. It's exactly like a choir singing. It's crazy stuff. Now, again, if you speed it up more, it sounds like a dolphin. Matter of fact, if you take the human voice and slow it down, it sounds exactly like the ocean. Now, it appears that there is some type of unified song, the voice of God, in his creation, even in rain. Now, I'm going to ask you all to do something. I've never done this before, so I don't know how this is going to work. But I want to try. So I saw something this week that is really neat. I saw an entire choir, looks like about 50-man choir, and they reproduced just with human elements, no other sound effects. They produced a rainstorm, a thunderstorm, and men and women. And they did it by just what they have. Now, I want everybody to do this. Please, everybody participate. Don't back down on me, okay? I want you to, everybody, now don't do it in time. Do it erratically. I want everybody to snap your finger, just like that. Now, keep it going. Keep it going. Don't stop. Keep it going. Does that sound like something? Keep it going. Keep it going for a second. Do both hands. Does that not sound like rain? Is that crazy or what? Now, I want you to understand something. Every drop of rain is unique. Just like, you know, if you've ever seen the snowflake and how the snowflake, no two snowflakes are the same. It's exactly the same way with a raindrop. You know, all of you together, when you combined your sound together, you unified what you were doing, you made a sound. You made one of God's created sounds. There's no, anywhere you go in the world, rain is completely different. This is according to the altitude, is according to how much salt is in the rain, how hard it hits, how big it is, and it's unique. Folks, there is a unique sound, and yet when it's unified, it's amazing what it will do. Now, in just a moment, I want to show a video. This video is about 4 or 5 minutes long, and I am well aware of the amount of time that I have, but this is so worth it. I want you to listen to this and watch this, because in your DNA is a song. And your DNA is obviously, as you know, is unique, just like your fingerprint is unique. There is an amazing thing. You've heard people talk about on drugs that they you could smell a sound or hear a smell. Watch this. Go ahead and bring the lights down, guys, and watch this.
The music that you're hearing now has been composed by one of the world's oldest musicians. But who is this composer? Well, you're looking at them. This music was composed using the DNA code from these plants, more specifically, the Rose Damascus. Edinburgh-based pianist and composer, Stuart Mitchell, has been researching the properties of music and DNA now for over 8 years, and has made some very interesting discoveries.
Since the discovery of DNA in the 50s, they've been very busy bringing the world the data, a database of all the animals we see around us here, ducks, trees, plants, flowers, and we can access this database on the internet these days. So really the challenge for us is to find the most impactful sequences and translate them into music.
The concept of DNA music originated in Japan when a partially blind scientist, Dr. Susumu Ono, assigned the plant's amino acids a particular tonal frequency and pitch and started to listen to DNA rather than read it.
Around 14 years ago, the discovery of DNA music was really developed by friends of mine in America, Susan Alexander and David Deamer, who really discovered that DNA is an acoustic biomatrix reliant upon sound and acoustics. So we've come in to translate the code of life into acoustic music that people can appreciate for what it is. We call it the symphony of life.
As a composer, Stuart takes the DNA data of a plant and translates it in a way that can be heard as music. But how exactly does this work? Well, it's quite simple actually, and it's all done in the comfort of his own home.
We brought you here to be witness to how we translate DNA into music tones. And this will give people a little bit of understanding of really how simple the process is.
Stuart uses an online database known as UniProt, which is home to hundreds of thousands of DNA sequences of the world's living organisms.
We can take the rose as an example. So we type in Rose Damascus into the search engine. The DNA that we're really going to focus on is the aromatic L-amino acid decarboxylase, the data that is responsible for the scent-producing compounds of the flower. Because if everybody, you think of a flower, the first thing you think about is how it smells. Now, it gives us this sequence here of letters, which are a translation of the DNA data. We simply copy this from the database and put it into this BioTMIDI editor.
This program is what Stuart uses to translate the amino acids onto a map of 22 musical notes and frequencies, Along the top of the map are all the amino acids which, for the sake of the demonstration, Stuart has put into the key of C major.
This is the DNA ACTG working. It just goes round four bases all the time. And that four letters produces this protein melody. And this is all back to the rose Damascus flower. And you can listen to them both together. Now, it sounds pretty raw and untreated there at the moment, and that's why we save this as a MIDI file and then reopen it in a professional scoring program like Sibelius.
Sibelius is used by most modern-day arrangers and composers. This program allows Stuart to take a more artistic approach by assigning instruments to the piece and giving it some presentation.
It's really interesting to think what kind of instruments you would give to a rose. In my mind, it's a flute.
In the Hebrew, if you look it up, it's where you get the word hallelujah.
Finally, as a composer, you can end up adding beautiful strings to it, bringing the melody out like a composer does.
That's the actual music from the DNA. Folks, that's crazy.
And that's all come from being on that database for about 10 minutes and the aromatic L-amino being responsible for the scent production and color of the flower is now responsible for that beautiful melody. So what you smell from a flower is what you can hear in this music.
Stuart has created an album featuring all of his DNA to music compositions called Musical Life of Plants. This music has been used and found to be very helpful in aromatherapy treatments. But are there any real benefits to this music?
One of the future experiments we want to do with the Botanic Gardens in Edinburgh is to see if this music has beneficial effects on the plants themselves. Whether or not they are going to be more fruitful, healthier, richer in colour, richer in scent, nonplussed by it. But in our understanding, that if these are the frequencies of the flower themselves, then there is a very good chance that this will be extremely beneficial to the plant. We know as human beings that music really makes you feel very calm, very spiritual, and we have a great affinity with sound. And that's why humanity loves music so much. Flowers are no different.
Whatever results the Botanics experiment produces, one thing will always remain clear, that within the DNA of all living things lies a single strand of code that is just singing out to us, waiting to be heard. And with enough time and care, this score of life can be presented in such a way that Stuart hopes will one day allow people to appreciate nature in a way that they never have before.
It's been a lovely journey to discover this music in plants and where it's leading us now into the human genome. This is the most wonderful thing about the DNA music is finding a sequence that's really going to impact humanity and heal humanity in some kind of way, and also bring an aesthetic appreciation for all life and not just the human disregard that we have for it these days. This is our goal, and this is what we're trying to breathe an awareness of into human society.
Now, let me just say to you folks, you can actually go to a website. You can find out some more information about this, and you can take your DNA, send it to this, and they'll make a song out of it. And your song is unique. Now, let's get back to this thing about what God did when he used his voice to speak the universe into existence. Now, listen closely. God created light on the first day, right? That's what the Bible says. Now, understand, we're not talking about the sun. That wasn't until the fourth day. So what has happened in here is when God spoke this light into existence, every single thing is the result of solidified light. All matter has weight and occupies space. Now listen to this. And because it has weight and occupies space, it is doing what? Vibrating. and it's vibrating at a particular frequency. The Bible even speaks about the earth vibrating, it's trembling. Now, if it didn't vibrate, it wouldn't even exist. Now, by the way, this is not Pastor Jeff Little, okay? This is a very, very famous scientist, Nikola Tesla. And of course, him and Jeff are related somehow, okay? He's a genius inventor. Now, the guy, he died in 43. The guy did some incredible stuff. If you want to look at an amazing life, you need to check on Tesla. For example, electricity, AC, that we call alternating currents, is just one of many phenomenal things that he was really into this whole thing on light. Here's what he said. He says, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Now, I don't know where he came up with his ideals and thinkings on this and understandings of this, but this is exactly the truth. Matter of fact, everything that there is a part of vibration, light, energy, all of this. And here's an example of a thing called the electromagnetic spectrum. This is where light is divided and is displayed in waves or frequencies. Do you understand that you are a frequency? I am a frequency. This bottle is a frequency. The water inside of it is a frequency. It completely, everything that exists vibrates, it moves, it resonates. Now the thing is, and this is hard for some of us, but light, listen, and sound are the exact same thing. They're just on different frequencies. Everything that exists has a vibrating frequency, a sound. If it does not vibrate at a particular frequency, it ceases to exist. Does everybody understand this? We call these wave files, and they're as huge as you could, as the biggest mountain in their wave, or they're just as small as you can, down to a quantum level. But where you and I fit is somewhere in that frequency range. Matter of fact, the things that we see with our eyes is just a small little frequency. That's how we see color. But that light spectrum goes far. That's why there's such things as X-rays and gamma rays. It's just light at a higher frequency. There are certain animals that can see things at higher and lower frequencies. Dogs can hear sounds that normally we can't. They can just hear at a different frequency, but there's something there. Now, guess what? For humans, now this is incredible. This is our creator. This is the master musician at work. The thing that is so amazing about this is that, what is the perfect number, by the way, the number of completion? Seven. Do you understand that there are seven colors in the rainbow? That's the frequency that all humans see color. It's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Amazingly enough, there are seven notes in a musical scale. There's no coincidence that there's a number seven, and it's associated with so many things, it would be worthless to try to get into. But if you even take this down even into the smallest that you can imagine, in the quantum level, quantum physicists talk about superstrings, that everything is made up. What are atoms made up and molecules? What when you get inside of them, what are they are? And they ultimately say it comes down to, of all things, vibrating strings. Just like they say, the strings on a violin. Now let me tell you, me, everything that exists in the cosmos are resonating strands of strings. And they reverberate the voice of the master musician, the stringist, the psalmist. You know, the psalmist addresses to the chief musician. Ultimately, the chief musician is God himself. The fact is, music appears in the Bible for the first time in the first book of the Bible. Not too far into the Bible, it talks about Lamech, who had two wives. And these two wives bore him some sons and a daughter. The first son that says was Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tents, such as have cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. Now that's the first mention in the Bible about music. Watch what it says. He was the father of all that such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor who was basically a craftsman who worked with iron. Now, of course, he's beating on this, and Jubal is hearing rhythm. And as you think about this, here is the creativity of Jubal thinking of rhythm, and he's adding harps and sound and strings and wind instruments, and you get an interesting family of these three boys. You get Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain, a shepherd, a musician, and a worker of metals. That's a very diverse group. And yet, some reason of all the families to talk about, God puts these guys in. And why? I think there's a lesson that God wants us to learn about music and how it incorporated those three boys. The fact is, when used properly, listen to this, music, represented by Jubal, can be a tool, represented by Tubal-Cain, to help God's sheep hear his voice of the of their shepherd, represented by Jabal. Now, at the same time, your music can also be a tool to destroy God's flock and even to attack the shepherd. You got to stop and ask yourself, what is your music doing for your spiritual walk with the Lord? What is it doing in your life? Now understand this, folks. Music by itself is a spiritual thing. For example, we find David is called into King Saul when he has this evil spirit on him, and it's depressive and it's oppressive. So what happens? He starts taking his finger and he vibrates a string. Now think about this. This doesn't make sense. He's playing a harp, and the vibration doesn't say anything about him singing. The vibrations causes the demon to be disquieted. It forces this evil spirit away. Now we read in 2 Kings 3:14 of just the opposite. When the prophet Elisha calls for a musician, a minstrel, and when he plays on his instrument, the Bible says the hand of the Lord came on him and he started prophesying. Now, let me just tell you something. Music by itself has something. There's something in music that it can drive away demons, or it can invite the presence of God. How many know your minstrel that stands up here and plays that string instrument is helping set an atmosphere for the presence of God? Is everybody with me? Did you know that the word music comes from the root word muse? It means a guiding spirit. It's a source of inspiration. Matter of fact, in Greek mythology, Zeus had 9 daughters, and each of them were considered the inspiration for song and poetry and the arts and the sciences. Matter of fact, there's actually movies about that. There's a movie called The Muse. It stars Sharon Stone about a guy who was a poet. He couldn't get his inspiration until this spirit came. Matter of fact, there's a band out called Muse. Matter of fact, when you consider this, folks, and I remember I used to, as I would do this, I believe that music, certain kinds of music, have the ability to invite a thing into your life, into your room, into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit. That's why you need to be very careful about. Well, the scripture talks about us using our hands to lift our hands to praise God. Now, what you see on the right are the full-time worshipers that were used, the Levites, in the Old Testament. What you see on the left is the exact same thing, but it's at a rock concert. When you see these kids with their hands up raised, understand, rock and roll didn't do this. It didn't create this. I mean, it was only in the 70s that you even saw concerts where kids would raise their hand. When rock got to a stage where it became very dark and supernatural in the sense of demonic even, these bands would be singing clearly and extolling something that was not godly. Do you understand that dancing was not created by the world? dancing is in the Bible. The Bible talks about play skillfully with a loud noise, Psalm 33:3. God wants music to be loud. He wants the guitars to play skillfully. He wants the drums to be playing skillfully. And you can dance. It's got rhythm to it. Did you know it's spiritual? There's something about music that's spiritual. Incidentally, in Greek philosophy, I'm sure many of you have heard of Plato. Plato, when he wrote The Republic, he wrote one paragraph on the economy, economics. He wrote 40 pages on music. Matter of fact, a contemporary of his, Damon of Athens, put it this way: "Let me write the songs of a nation. I care not who writes its laws." You want to talk about where the heart and the mind of a generation is? Listen to their music. Your music is going to reflect your mentality. That's why the enemy has such a stronghold on music. And sad to say, some of you have opened yourself up to the wrong spirit. Let me tell you an example of what I'm talking about. Years ago, we held a meeting in Nashville. I thought it was amazing. You know, we're talking the music capital of America. Here is a pantheon built to scale, the exact full scale, right in the high place of Nashville, Tennessee. You go inside of it, is the full scale replica of Athena, the Greek goddess of the arts, 42 feet tall. You can see the man standing on the platform area of that thing. And here it is in Music City, USA. I got news for you. There's a stronghold over this music. Now you say, I like that country music. Well, it's got a message to it, doesn't it? You want to talk about drinking and depression and divorce? The 3D music right there, brother. But you understand, music wasn't created in Genesis. It was created long before humans came. Matter of fact, the scripture says that the angels, the stars, sang when God created the world. Let me just tell you something. We find out there's an angelic being known as Lucifer, and he's musical. Oddly, isn't this amazing? This is the very thing that he's been using. Now, I want you to consider what I'm about to say here, and this I'm ready to close. The word Lucifer, first of all, means, of all things, light bearer. And I wish we had more time to get into that, but I want you to notice Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 gives us two references to Lucifer before his fall. And just look at the highlighted words there. Thou art, he says, thy pomp or your pride is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. That's where we get the root word for violin. It's string instruments. In Ezekiel 38, it tells us, and if you notice at the bottom there, it talks about all the precious stones that were on him. By the way, these are the same ones that were on the high priest, the Levite high priest, the stones that was on his chest. This is a part of the whole concept of God's art and how they resonate certain frequencies. Well, let me just tell you this. It says, talking about Lucifer, the workmanship of thy tabrets, that's the root word for tambourine, and of thy pipes, that's wind instruments. So what do we have here, folks? We've got melody, the strings, harmony, the pipes, and rhythm. We've got music, and the Bible says that it was in him. He was created almost like a synthesizer. It was in him. Lucifer, many believe that there's Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, three major angels, and each had their residence over certain type of angels. That's why when Lucifer falls, according to Revelation 12, one third of the angels fell with him. He was associated with worship around the throne. He was a covering cherub. Now let me wrap this up. And our brother, can I get you to come and just and be a minstrel as I in this morning, this afternoon? We are his what? What does it say there? That's the exact same word that we just found that Lucifer, his workmanship was in tabrets. The word means working ministry. But the interesting thing about the Greek word here, it is the Greek word poema. That's where we get the word poem. Do you understand? We are his workmanship. We are his poem creating Christ Jesus. You understand this has to do with God's grace. If you see this verse in its context, I'll show you in a second. It is when God's grace does its work in you, in your heart, you become God's poem. What does it say? I mean, if this church should have any scripture memorized, it's this one. For by what? Grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship. We are the work of God. Go ahead and play, minstrel. Understand, folks, your music, the stuff that you listen to, when I push the little presets on your thing, what you listen to is who you're following. Your music should express your attitude toward God. You know, let me tell you something. If it's not lining up with what God wants to do in you, your life is in a mess. It really will not resonate the glory of God until your heart and your music line up with God's song that he's singing over you. Amen? The fact is, you got to understand, one of the reasons why pastors put this series together is for us to understand that being plugged in sometimes is the most dangerous thing for your life. I don't care if you're saved or lost. Now, let me just tell you something. You can get rid of all your secular music and split hell wide open. I'm not talking that. You can get rid of all your nasty movies, and if you're not right with God, you're still going to hell. But I will tell you this. What you plug into is what you eventually come. You need to plug into God and what he has for you. I love all of you. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Amen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a second? Right where you're sitting, would you make an altar and talk to God for a second and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about your life, about your music. And just say, Holy Spirit, would you help me to examine the quantity of music, the quantity of media in my life? Holy Spirit, would you examine the quality of the music, the quality of the media that I put in my life? And Lord, show me if there are any open doors to darkness, to hinder, to hurt, to divide, to distract, to destroy. And God, give us courage to close those doors, because we want to walk with you. We want to be faithful. We want to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite our ushers to come back. We're going to receive an offering for our guest speaker. And I want to encourage you to give an offering to John today and his family. John is a full-time evangelist. That means he completely relies on meetings like this for income. And so I want to encourage you to honor that today by giving an offering. If you're writing a check, you can make it to Grace. You can pull out your iPhone or your tablet and do that electronically. Make sure you write John Muncy on that. And you can give here today. Now, I can assure you that he did not put this together yesterday in a couple hours.
That's right.
You're looking at weeks of time and energy. He's also been helping me in these past 2 weeks with this unplugged stuff. So would you honor that today by giving something to John and to his family? We would be so grateful for you to do that. And one of the ways we do great offerings around here is how? Everybody gives something, okay? Even if he convicted you and you're mad at him, just go ahead and give anyway, all right? That would be a real good sign for you that things are okay in your heart, all right? So ushers, go ahead and do that if you would. Now, our challenge, we're asking three questions during this Unplugged series. We're asking ourselves three questions every time. Number one, do I have control over the amount of media in my life? Because we talked about the first week, one of the biggest challenges is just how much we're plugged in, okay? Just how much noise is in our lives. And so encourage you to examine that. Are there any limits? Number two is to examine the quality of media, music, TV, internet, whatever in your life. And Psalm chapter 1 is a great guide for that. We talked about that last week as well. And so to examine, are there any standards in your life when it comes to media? We're not setting the standards for you. God's word does set the standard, so we have to seek out God's word. And then the third thing we're asking is, are there any open doors to the enemy in your life through television, music, movies, whatever it may be, and because we don't want to give the enemy a foothold in our lives. Am I talking to the right people? We don't want to invite darkness, Satan, to come and say, just do whatever you want, because the Bible says he comes to steal from us, to kill us, to destroy us. It's not a game, is it? I said, it's not a game, is it? This may not be a popular topic, but it's a very real one, okay? Now, as part of that, we have been giving you the Unplugged Challenge. And we're challenging you at some time during the series, and notice we've reduced it from 6 weeks to four, so if you only got 2 weeks left, to go 7 days unplugged. No TV, no internet as much as possible, no music, no electronics, as much as you can. Some of you work with that kind of stuff and you have to do it, but as much as possible for 7 days. By the way, how many of you have attempted to do some measure of unplugged so far? Raise your hand. All right, give it up for all these godly people. Awesome, good for you. Now, that's good. Now, I want to go ahead and tell you that my family had a conversation yesterday, and this is our week. We thought VBS week would be a great week to go unplugged, but anyway, and so I encourage you to do that if you can, and go unplugged and see what happens. Let me know what happens. Give me your observations, and I believe God will bless you as a result. Amen? Why don't you stand one more time? I want to challenge you. If you haven't registered your kids for VBS, do it on your way out today. Grab one of those donation cards to help out if you would. Fathers, dads, men, happy Father's Day. We love you. Don't forget to grab your gift on the way out the door today, and have a great day in Jesus. God bless you.
You dance over me.